The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The seal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
In our mind's eye, do you have a seat? I want us to journey back over 2,500 years and more, to long before Jesus was born. And God used men like Isaiah and Micah as prophets to deliver a message of hope. Good news for Israel as a nation. Indeed, good news for the whole world that would bring joy. One day, God was going to send a Messiah, a Savior, a rescuer. And these prophets were very precise about what this Savior would be like and even where he would be born.
But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Therefore, Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor gives birth, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely. For then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be their peace.
A small boy was quite disgruntled one Christmas, and he wrote to Santa, "Dear Santa, you did not bring me anything good last year, or the year before that. This is your last chance." I wonder, do you really enjoy Christmas? Or could you quite happily give it a miss? You know, it would be pretty awful actually to go through the winter, wouldn't it, without Christmas. January and February are difficult enough, but imagine going through December without the hope and the fun and everything that is connected with Christmas. Moving forward in our thoughts from the time of the prophets to the time in Israel 2,000 years ago, before the birth of Jesus, there was little in Israel to be joyful about. The promised Messiah, the Savior they longed for, still had not come. As a nation, they were governed by a cruel king called Herod, and ultimately their country was occupied by the Romans, who demanded loyalty and tax. Israel longed for a redeemer. And so we sing a song that begins bleakly, but emerges into hope and joy.
In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man called Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God."
As we consider the life of Mary, here I want us to see that joy sometimes comes through a difficult choice. This young woman got quite a shock, didn't she? It's not every day an angel appears to you. And despite his kind words and the assurance that she is favoured by God, she is still troubled and wonders what the visit is all about. And she receives the news that she's going to have a child. And at this point, she hasn't even married Joseph. This birth is going to be a miracle. Now, it would have been easy for Mary to say, "Why me?" Certainly other people weren't going to understand how she could possibly be pregnant and yet claim she had not even been with Joseph before they married. But this was no ordinary birth. Mary was given the task of bringing Jesus, God's Son, into the world. And instead of objecting, Mary allows herself to be used as God's servant for this purpose. And for Mary, joy came the other side of a very difficult choice. And that joy in her heart is reflected in her song or Magnificat. In verse 46 to 48 of the chapter, it says, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed." So Mary found joy in pleasing God, even though to do so was difficult. And actually, that is the secret, I believe, of joy today. To live to please God, to serve him. It's not easy, but it is the true way to joy. Hopes and fears are met in the birth of Jesus. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in him tonight.
In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, to the town of David. He was there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn.
And so Jesus is born, Emmanuel, God with us. And actually, joy is a person. Sometimes joy comes through a difficult choice, but actually joy is a person. And if we want true joy this Christmas, we need first and foremost to focus on him. Christ Mass, the birth of the Christ. One year someone asked a small girl, we had the small boy, now the small girl, someone asked a small girl if she got what she wanted for Christmas. And after a moment's hesitation, the little girl replied, "No, not everything, but it's not my birthday." It's not my birthday. It's very unlikely, actually, that the 25th of December is the actual birthday of Jesus. Sorry to spoil that. But what is important is that at some point we celebrate his coming into the world. He came with the intention, with the express purpose of living the perfect life, but then going to the cross to be our Saviour. And if we want true joy, it comes from knowing that in him, our sins, all our failings, can be forgiven through his sacrifice. He is the only hope for the world. If we're experiencing no joy this Christmas, we might want to ask if we've lost sight of him who is the true source of joy. Please be seated. That last verse is really a prayer, isn't it? "Be near me, Lord Jesus. I ask thee to stay close by me forever and love me, I pray. Bless all the dear children in thy tender care and fit us for heaven to live with thee there." So we're going to continue in that vein in our prayers now. Lord God, we come to you this evening. You are the God, the Creator, the one who is above all things, the one who made this world and everything in it. We sometimes think that the start of for Jesus came when he was that babe in Bethlehem, but the Bible tells us otherwise, that in the beginning was the Word, that Jesus was that Word, and he was with God the Father in the beginning. And that actually through you, Lord Jesus, this world and everything in it was made. You created a beautiful world, but the reality is that we have spoiled that world, and we're living with the consequences of that as we think about the whole area of climate change and pollution. Father, forgive us for what we have done to your world. Forgive us too, Lord, for our own personal sin, for the times we've not looked to you, for how, Lord, we have broken your laws and commands. Lord, we thank you that you offer us hope and forgiveness in the person of Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are the God of the nations, that you came for the whole world, not just for one people group, but for everyone who will believe in you. And we thank you that, Lord Jesus, you can take care of the nations today. And we do think of those nations where there is struggle and turmoil. We think of floods in Kenya and dear friends who are involved in that. We think of floods in our own nation and people who suffer in that regard. We think of the fires in Australia and ask that you will bring them to an end. Lord, we do bring our own nation to you at a time of incredible change, as we kind of go it alone again as a nation, as we break from Europe in many regards. Lord, we pray for those in government over us as a nation, and we pray for those in government over us at a local level. We do pray for our mayor here in Ipswich and indeed for our local councillors as they seek to help this town to move forward. Lord, we're a town with many problems of knife crime, people sleeping on the streets, of people using food banks. Lord, we pray for anyone who is struggling today. And Lord, give us a heart that reaches out in compassion to them. And then, Lord, we pray for our own individual families. We pray for those who come to Christmas time with illness in the family or with recent bereavement, whatever it might be, Lord. Lord, we pray for those who have concerns over their work, either the job that they're in or a lack of job, and the future going forward. And I pray, Lord, that we will look to you, that you might be our peace for all things. And so, Lord, I just pray that your hope and your peace and your love and your joy might reign in our hearts. Amen.
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who were lying in the manger.
When we think the shepherds, the message here is simply that joy is sent to you, whoever you are. The shepherds were out in the fields going about their very routine lives. They were actually considered the lowest of the low in that society. But God shows up right where they are and values them. And for many of us people, we have dreams in our heads. If only I lived in that place. If only I had that job or that relationship, then I would have joy. But the problem is that it's not actually about situations or other people. Often we lack joy because of ourselves and we're aware of our own failings. But into this situation, God wants to break in with his offer of joy through the person of Jesus. The angel said, "I bring you good news of great joy." You see, actually, Christmas is very personal. Jesus came for every one of you here to bring you joy. After meeting Jesus, the giver of joy for themselves, the shepherds overflowed with joy, didn't they, as the choir sang. They couldn't contain it. They shared that good news with others. And this joy of Jesus is not to be bottled up. It's not to be selfish with, but it is to be shared. And that's our desire this evening, is to share with you where we have found joy in a relationship with Jesus Christ.
After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem. And they asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel. So then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
Here I see that joy is a journey. And for the wise men, the joy started with the journey, didn't it, from the east. And it wasn't until they saw the star over the place where Jesus was and they went in and worshipped him that they really began to experience that true joy for themselves. You know, joy is not a quick fix. Joy is not a temporary happiness, something you're excited about 1 minute, but it dumps you the next. So many things in life are like that, aren't they? Give you happiness for a time, but they dump you the next minute. True joy is being in the journey for the long haul. True joy comes from facing the world with God. Because if we're honest, life batters us about a bit, doesn't it? A bit like a boat on the surface of an ocean. We can't stop ourselves being tossed around in the wind. But true joy is the calm assurance. It's what is below the surface, if you like. It's the calm assurance that no matter what is going on the surface, that God underneath remains in control. It's the confidence that there is something better ahead beyond this life and its storms. And so I ask you tonight, have you taken that first step in a journey with God? Have you stepped into the boat with him, God with us, Emmanuel? And he will be with you every step of the journey. You know, it's just as tough for Christians as it is for those who don't have faith. We face the same trials and struggles in our lives. But we're able to do so with a deep joy. It's a joy that sadly seems to elude many people. And it eludes people because they don't have time, real time, for the Christ of Christmas to enter their hearts. We're going to sing a carol that consistently has been voted the nation's favourite in recent years. But just ponder the words carefully. Ask yourself if you, like the wise men, have fallen on your knees to worship the Saviour. O holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Saviour's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, O hear the angel voices, O night divine, O night when Christ was born. Well, we're nearly at an end. We've seen that joy sometimes comes the other side of a hard choice, as with Mary. We've seen that true joy is found in a person, in Jesus. We've seen, like the shepherds, that joy is offered to you, whoever you are. We've seen that joy is a journey, knowing that God is in control, whatever is happening on the outside. But finally this evening, I want you to see that joy is surrender. Joy is surrender. The wise men brought their gifts and worshipped Jesus. And wise men and women still do worship Jesus. How about us? Do we have the joy of having handed over our lives completely to God? The world says that joy comes from doing this or owning that. But does joy really come with a better joy or a bit more money or even a new Mulberry handbag? True joy comes from a relationship with God. I want you to imagine a room and it's full of treasure, but the doors are locked and there's only one way out. And it's through the narrowest of windows. And you can only just squeeze through the gap because of all those mince pies you've eaten. And if you try to bring any of the treasure that is in the room with you, it will be too bulky for you to get through. To escape, you actually have to leave all of that behind. And you know, it's the same if we want to have true joy. We have to stop trusting in anything else or anyone else. We have to stop trusting in the education or our property or even our earthly relationships. All these things, there's nothing wrong with them in themselves, but they must not be the ultimate goal of our lives. We are offered the true gift of joy this Christmas, of sins forgiven through the death of Christ on the cross, of a new life with him as master, of calm in the storm with him as the captain, no matter what the circumstances are on the outside. And it may, like Mary, be a difficult choice for you to follow Jesus. And if you follow, you might be misunderstood by family and friends, just as Mary was. But I want to assure you that it is a choice worth making. It is the way to true joy and contentment, to love God and then to go on and to love one another. Amen. Father God, we thank you for this evening, for this reminder of who you are, and the wonderful, amazing gift of your precious Son, Jesus, into our world, to be our Saviour, to be our hope, to be our peace, and to be our joy through lives committed to him. And Father, I pray that your peace and hope and joy may go with each one here as they look to you in the coming days, in the coming year. Lord, it's one thing to come to a carol service, but it's something else to have a relationship with you. And I pray that people would feel prompted to come again, to hear more, to come and be part of the church on a weekly basis, to hear what your word has to say, and Lord, how you can bring perspective to each of our lives. Now may great God's grace go with each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen.